from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, it's great to have you here today for Verve Online, and we get people joining us from all over. We'd love to know where you're from. Would you put in the comments where you're watching from today? So, today I want to talk to you about a king and a kingdom. What kind of king? No, not a Game of Thrones king. No, not the king of pop. No, not a Martin Luther king. No, not Burger King. I want to talk to you about a king and a kingdom, but not a political king. That's what people normally think of, a political king. And that kind of king, a political king, that's what they were expecting, hoping for. At Jesus' time, the Jews, who were God's people, they were the only people who at the time believed in and worshiped God, they were like an oppressed minority. The Romans were taking over the world. The Roman army would come into your town and take over, use their military to force you into submission. They would make everyone say, "Caesar is Lord," to pronounce their allegiance to the kingdom of Rome. And that's what happened to the Jews. But for ages, God had promised to send them a savior. He was going to rise up a Messiah who would free God's people. And so the people waited for a political leader. And they waited and they awaited and they assumed that this savior would be a king. What kind of king? No, not a Randy Macho Man Savage kind of king. No, not a Bugs Bunny kind of king. No, not a Lion King. No, not a Tiger King. They assumed their king would be a political king. So they waited. And then finally something happened. Jesus showed up. And Jesus matched all the details God had given them about this coming savior. And Jesus has this message he starts proclaiming. It focused on what he called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. He used those interchangeably. Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. From then on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And then in Matthew 12, 28, he said, "The kingdom of God has arrived." Jesus talked about this kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven all the time. The phrase kingdom of God appears 162 times in the New Testament. Jesus said the kingdom of God is why he came. He said in Luke 4:43, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent." Now, as you might imagine, most of the Jewish people are psyched out of their minds. Like, this is it, what God promised. And it was. This is what we've been waiting for. And it was. This is what we've needed. And it was. This is what we've wanted. No, it wasn't. It was not what they wanted or expected, because it quickly and repeatedly became clear that Jesus came to be a king and to establish this kingdom of God, but he was not a political king and it was not a political kingdom. All of Jesus' teachings about the kingdom of God made it obvious that this was a spiritual kingdom, not a political one. Like with politics, you try to gain power, but Jesus taught everyone to give up power. And people tried to get Jesus to weigh in on political issues. Every time he refused. And people tried to force him to become a political leader. Look at his response. John chapter 6. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." He's it. When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. Jesus had no interest in gaining political power because he was a king, but his kingdom was not a political one. So, what is this kingdom of God? Well, a kingdom is a place made up of citizens who belong to that kingdom. And they have a king, and the people do what he would have them do. The kingdom of God is for people who choose to make Jesus their king, the leader of their lives. And the kingdom of God is for people who choose to live the way God means for life to be lived. Jesus came as the king to bring the kingdom of God to earth and invite people to make him their king and live as citizens of the kingdom of God or of heaven. He invites people to make him their king. In fact, look what we're told in the Bible. This is interesting. What gets you saved and into the kingdom? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So remember, the Romans made people say, Caesar is Lord. When you decide you want to be a Christian, you say, Jesus is Lord. He is your king. And back in the Bible times, saying Jesus is Lord was saying, Caesar is not my Lord. So like, I no longer consider the political leader of this country my king. I no longer consider myself part of the kingdom of Rome. People back then could be killed for saying Jesus is Lord. It was not allowed, but they did it anyway because they were making Jesus their king. Jesus invited people. Jesus is inviting you to make him your king. And I want to talk about what it means to live as a citizen of Jesus' kingdom because it changes everything. But first, if you haven't made Jesus your king, if you haven't said yes to his invitation, I want to encourage you to take what we call next step. Next step is where you will discover God and what it looks like to live life with him. So I'll be back with you in a second, but first, next step.
You took next step like in the towards the beginning of the pandemic, right?
Yeah. Next step came at a perfect time for me because we were going into the pandemic. It was, you know, our city was locking down. I lost all my jobs, had multiple jobs. They all went away in the blink of an eye. And I was single. I'm 28. I live alone. All my friends, I say my age because I think I'm at that weird age where almost all of my friends locked up with their significant other, and I felt very lonely. And that's why I looked to God, because I was like, okay, this isn't the end of the world, but what's going on and why? What do I do with myself and my faith? And then Next Step helped me turn to God and realize that I'm not alone, even if I'm physically alone.
A lot of people, when they get into Next Step, or a reason to get into Next Step, is just they don't know how things work.
I have a lot of questions about God and the whole thing, and I've for years been dabbling in my faith, and I've never just asked my questions and dove right in. So Next Step seemed like the perfect place because it was very much like, we're gonna tell you where to start.
That's what Next Step is. It's trying to help people get some practical ideas of, well, how does this work? What is this all about?
It was a very comfortable environment. It was all online, obviously, but it was still, you know, I met people and felt connected to other people going through the life, obviously, but like going through the same things and having the same types of questions. And it was just really easy to feel connected.
So Jesus invites people to make him their king and to live as citizens of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. So let's think about that. Let's think about being citizens, because usually the only time we really hear that word is in senior citizens. But we're not talking about being senior citizens. No, not senior citizens. Oh no. And no, not senior citizens. We're talking about being citizens of a nation or of a kingdom. And listen, so this may be a mind bender for you. Your mind might explode in a second, but ready? If you have said yes to Jesus, you are not a citizen of earth or of America. In the Bible, in the book of Philippians, Paul, who was one of the first Christians, he was one of the first missionary church starters, he writes this, "For our citizenship," he's writing to Christians, "is in heaven." Followers of Jesus are not citizens of this world, not citizens of this country. So listen, I was born in the USA. I-R-O-C-K in the USA. I party in the USA. Seriously, I love our nation. I am so thankful for those who have served and fought for America. I feel so blessed to live in the United States where there are so many freedoms and so many opportunities. I love America. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. But at the same time, because I am a follower of Jesus, my true citizenship is not in this world. It's in heaven. We live here in America now, but this is just a temporary home. God calls us in the Bible in 1 Peter 2:11, temporary residents and foreigners. We are citizens of heaven, not earth, not America. We're foreigners here. This is just our temporary home. I asked you earlier to put in the comments where you're watching from. Maybe, you don't have to do this, but maybe put in the comments right now where you're a citizen of. And if you're a follower of Jesus, and we get lots of people at Verve who are not, but if you are a follower of Jesus, you might just want to put in the comments, "I am a citizen of heaven," because that's who you are. It's kind of like this. So this is my passport. My passport says that I am a citizen of the United States of America. I belong to America, okay? But I have had times when I went to another country. Like one time, my family stayed in the Dominican Republic. I got the stamp in here somewhere. And so we lived actually in the Dominican Republic for about a month. We lived in a home there. We made friends there. We ate there. We served there. We actually helped build a house for a needy family there. We were living there, but that was not our home. We're not citizens of the DR. We were citizens of America living in the DR. Now, when we lived in the Dominican, we wanted things to be nice there, to go well there, to be good there. We cared about that country, partly because we were in it, right? And so if there was a hurricane or riots, that would have mattered to us because we were living there. But honestly, it wouldn't have mattered so much because that's not our home. We are from America. And in the same way, I stay on earth. I live in America. So I want things to be good here, go well here. Things matter to me here. But honestly, they shouldn't matter that much because this is not my home. I am a citizen of heaven. I want to show you the two verses that come just before the one we looked at a minute ago that said, "For our citizenship is in heaven," which was Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Okay, so a couple verses earlier, check out what that guy Paul writes. He writes about these people he's describing who live, check this, as enemies of the cross of Christ. That's verse 18. And that's intense. Enemies of the cross of Christ. Who are these enemies of the cross of Christ? What are they doing to oppose Jesus? He describes them in the next verse with these words. Their mind is set on earthly things. Wait, what? You're saying that what makes someone an enemy of the cross of Christ is having their mindset on the things of earth? Yep. That's what the Bible says. Being focused on things of this earth, things that are happening here and now and are not eternal, they're just temporary, they have nothing to do with heaven, is the way to live as an enemy of the cross of Christ. It says if you're really focused on what's happening here and now on earth, then you're actually working against what Jesus did for us when he died for us and the eternal impact that it should have. Our minds are not set on earthly things because as followers of Jesus, this is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. So, like with this election, our minds are not set on an election. We live in this country, so yeah, we care, right? We want things to be good. We get to vote, that's cool. And so yeah, we ask God to guide us to vote for what's best for this country that we happen to be living in. But man, our minds are not set on an election. It's not a huge deal for us because we are not citizens of earth. It's like this. So when we were in the Dominican Republic that month, it happened to be election season and it was weird. So people from like the different political parties, there was more than two, there's a bunch, and they all had colors, but they drove around in pickup and flatbed trucks and they'd be cranking music and sometimes there'd be people playing drums in the back of the truck and there was all this noise and they would have bullhorns and they'd be yelling as they drove by, like I guess who to vote for, you know, whatever. It'd be like, Cabeza, Pollo Loco, Sandia, Sandia. Maybe not. I don't speak Spanish. That's probably not what they were saying. But it was crazy. And the people who were citizens of the DR, they totally cared about all of it. But we were living there, but we weren't citizens there. And so even though we lived there at the time, like, I guess we were kind of interested, but we didn't care much. And here we are in election season, and there is a lot of noise and a lot of people yelling, Cabeza, Cabeza, right? And citizens of America totally care about all of that. But we're citizens of heaven, even though we do live here for a time. And so we're interested, we vote, but our minds are not set on this election. So if we're not citizens of earth, we're citizens of heaven, why does God even have us here? Like, why have us here instead of in heaven? Like, when you become a Christian, couldn't God go and like zap you up to heaven? Why does God still have us here? He has us here to be ambassadors. No, not the ex-ambassadors.
Boom, boom, boom.
No, we are heaven's ambassadors. Ambassadors for Jesus. Check out how the Bible describes who we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What is an ambassador? Well, an ambassador is not elected. He or she is chosen. They are chosen by the highest ranking official in their nation, and they are sent to another place to be the highest ranking representative of their nation. Ambassadors are chosen and sent to represent, to embody the values and principles of their nation, and to influence, to represent and to influence the place where they are stationed for the best interests of their home nation. They never represent themselves. They always represent their home country and its leader. And they are always working to try to accomplish the goals of their home country and leader. In order to do this, and they have to be thoroughly knowledgeable of their home nation's values and policies and objectives and stay in close contact with the leader of their country so that they can accurately represent and advocate for them. So, what are we? Why does God have us living here on earth? We are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors because we were chosen. Jesus said in John 15, 16, I chose you and appointed you. And we are sent. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So we are sent by Jesus to represent him, to embody the values and principles of the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven. So we on earth live out heaven's values. And those values are very different. Man, they are actually like upside down from the world's values. So we look different. In his most famous sermon called the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that citizens of his kingdom value purity and meekness and being merciful. They rejoice when they're persecuted. They forgive. They pray for their enemies. They keep their promises. They don't lust or get divorced. They give generously. They don't worry because they trust their Heavenly Father. They don't judge. We're also taught that the values of the kingdom include being humble and putting the needs of other people above your own needs, and that the chief kingdom value is love. In everything for everyone, love. We are Jesus' ambassadors. Boom, boom, boom. And we are sent to represent him, to live out the values and principles of his kingdom. And we are sent to influence the place where we are stationed for our home, the kingdom of God. In that Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave, he taught people how to pray. And he said this. He said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says, your will be done, meaning we live out the kingdom values. We represent Jesus. And he says, your kingdom come to earth from heaven. Our mission is to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. We have been sent by Jesus. And he said, as you go, I'm sending you. And as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. So, as ambassadors, we are telling people about the kingdom of heaven. It's near, it's here, and we are inviting them to become a part of it by putting their faith in our King, Jesus. Actually, we're not just telling and inviting, we are imploring. Remember what Paul wrote about ambassadors, about our role. He said, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Our mission, our desire is we want everyone to know our King, to choose our King, Jesus. That is your mission as an ambassador. Boom, boom, boom. So when you go to your school, what happened when you went to school is heaven just sent an ambassador to that school. When you go to your job, heaven just sent an ambassador to that workplace. When you come home from work, heaven just sent an ambassador to your neighborhood. Your responsibility everywhere you go is to represent Jesus by the way you live and to, in a gracious way, share with people the good news that Jesus has come and that we are invited to put our faith in him and become a part of the kingdom of heaven. Whew. So what does all of this mean for Tuesday night? This Tuesday, our country is holding an election to choose America's president, America's king. What does everything we've said today mean for that? Well, we are temporary residents here. So we care. We should pray and we should vote. But our minds should not be set on the election, because our kingdom is spiritual. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are ambassadors sent by heaven to represent Jesus and to bring his kingdom to earth, because he is our king. And because he is our king, we are not worried about Tuesday's election. As believers in God and followers of Jesus, we live above fear. We know no matter which party holds office, our God still holds the world. And whoever becomes president on Tuesday, Jesus will still be king on Wednesday. People say, what? But aren't you worried at all? The world keeps getting darker. And what if Christians lose our rights? And what if we're persecuted? Listen, if the world grows darker, Jesus, the light of the world, will shine brighter. If persecution becomes greater, the church will grow stronger. That has always been what's happened throughout all of church history. The church has strengthened and grown as a persecuted minority, and the church has weakened and shrunk as a politically favored majority. Either way, we don't worry. We are loyal to our country, but we are citizens of heaven. Our minds are not fixed on earthly things. We have an eternal mission that we are focused on, and we have a king. We have the King of Kings. We are told in Revelation 17, 14, he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Jesus is king. And whoever becomes president on Tuesday, Jesus will still be king on Wednesday. And Jesus is king. He is my king. And he has invited you to make him your king. And if you knew him, you would want nothing more than to make him your king. But do you know him? Do you know him? And if you know him, you realize, man, you want to live for him. He is so amazing. You want to worship him. To worship means to give worth to something, to tell someone how great they are. And that's what we're going to do right now. The band is going to lead us in a worship song, and you can sing to Jesus if you want. If you're like, I'm just not there yet, I don't know him like that, well, you can use this time to think about what you've heard, to process what you've heard, and like, what do you need to do with it? What questions do you need answered? What's your next step? So use these next couple minutes to think about that, and then we'll close the service. But first, let's talk to God together. So God, thank you for sending Jesus to be a king, a spiritual king. Thank you that we are invited into his kingdom. God, my prayer is that everyone who ever watches, whoever listens to these words would say yes to make Jesus their king and would live out his kingdom values as an ambassador of Christ, God, that we would represent you well and that we would inspire people, influence people to know you and to choose you as their king. God, as we enter into a time of reflection, a time of prayer, a time to think about who you are and what you want for us, God, would you speak to us and give us ears to hear what you have to say as we do this song, as we use this time to pray. God, we ask all this in the name of our King, in Jesus' name.